Welcome to the infamous podcast, Bitch, I'm Not Well. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Brandy.
And we're invested on taking you down to Crazy Town, where we talk about crazy bitches who are truly unwell. Hello.
Hello.
I don't even know what that was. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what that was either.
It was kind of like
warming up your vocals.
Sounds great. Tip of the teeth, top of the tight. Tip of the teeth, top of the tight. I don't know.
Look, Tucker wants to get in on this.
Tucker, you want to get on the podcast, Booba? Hell yeah. All right. Let's get started.
Let's get this shit on the road.
Get the shit on the road. Why am I so happy? Like, I'm so happy to see you,
I think so.
Because I've been miserable. Like, I've been feeling like I've lost something.
You have. You lost me.
I lost sight of you.
But I found my way back. I found my way home.
Yay! All right, today we're going to talk about Krista Gell Pike, a.k.a. Satan.
Ooh.
Yep. Krista was born on March 10th, 1976. She is an American convicted murderer and the youngest woman to be sentenced to death in the United States during the post-Furman period. She was 20 years old when she was convicted of the torture and murder of her classmate, Colleen Slimmer, which she committed at the age of 18.
Wow.
Yep. So, a little bit of background. Krista Pike was born in 1976 to Carissa Hansen and Emil Glenn Pike in Beckley, West Virginia. Her parents had a tumultuous relationship, being married for 2 years, divorced for a year after Hansen was found to be cheating, and remarried for another 2 years after Hansen attempted suicide.
Wow. Right. If it didn't work out the first time, why would you try it again?
Well, I think people always do that, right? Yeah. You break up, you go back. You break up, you go back. You break up. You wise up, you quit.
Yes.
Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't.
Seems like in this case it probably doesn't.
Yeah, it did not. So both of them were frequently negligent. An aunt noted that an infant Pike would be crawling around through piles of dog poop all over the house.
That's disgusting. Mm-hmm.
And her mother, Carissa, just wanted to keep partying whenever she received news that her toddler was experiencing severe seizures. So...
oh.
Your baby's having seizures and you're all worried about partying.
I just got my new knee-high boots. I need to go out and show them off.
Yeah, these boots are made for walking, baby.
You want me to be a mother? Mm-mm.
Walking in dog poop, but yep. Walking.
I'm walking on out of here. Mm-mm.
So, Krista Pike's paternal grandmother would frequently help care for her. Pike believed that she was the only one who ever loved her. When her grandmother died in 1988... Pike made her first suicide attempt at age 12.
Oh, shit.
And she received, like, little to no support for this.
Yeah, I can see that with only having her mom and dad. They seem like really great, upstanding parents.
Right.
Probably, like, room mother at school and shit.
Mm-hmm. Pike's living situation continued to be unstable throughout her teenage years as she was both the recipient and perpetrator of violence. One of her mother's boyfriends punched her in the face.
Oh, my gosh.
They filed criminal charges, and then they settled. While staying at her father's new family, one of her young half-sisters claimed to have been molested by Pike.
Oh, shit.
Okay, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, this is like a all-around messed up situation from, like, day one.
Right. So after she was accused of that, then her father sent her away, like, to go live with another family. So Pike additionally claimed to have been sexually assaulted or molested at several points in time. And this is mostly by her mother's boyfriends.
I could see that. I can see that her mom really wouldn't have paid much attention and not really given a shit.
But her friends and family doubt everything that she said.
Really?
Saying that she was a pathological liar.
Oh, but wow.
I believe that's a high probability that actually happened to her.
Yeah, I mean, if your mom doesn't care that you're crawling around in dog poop, she probably doesn't care that her boyfriend's trying to sleep with you, too.
Mm-hmm. There was an incident where a man phoned, claiming that he was going to rape her. And in response, Pike and a friend beat him with a stick in a parking lot. So I guess after a little bit, she was like,
she had enough fighting back.
F this.
Come at me, bro.
Yeah, right? I'll see you in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Let's see how you do it.
See what's up now.
Although she had been bright as a child, her unstable home life caused her to frequently change schools, causing her performance in school to deteriorate. In 10th grade, she was sent to juvenile facility for a year. That's where she became interested in the Job Corps, a government program aimed at helping low-income youth by offering vocational training and career skills.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. In the fall of 1994, at the age of 18, Pike attended the now-closed Job Corps Center in Knoxville, Tennessee. She began dating another student at the Job Corps named Daryl Shipp. Together, they developed interest in the occult and devil worship.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
That's always great for a brand new starting out relationship.
Yeah, like, you know what? You're really pretty of beautiful eyes. Do you want to help me sacrifice someone to Satan? Is that the new pickup line?
Hey, you want to have crackers and milk with me and Satan?
Yes, that sounds great.
Okay. You bring the cheese with.
I'm going to get the off-brand.
Yes. Even better, baby.
Better.
Make sure it's got plenty of saturated fats.
I'm going to clog these arteries.
Everything I can do.
I'm going to do everything bad.
Anyway. We're pretty sure that's how their first date went.
Yeah, that's basically word for word of what we think happened on their first date.
But maybe it was different. We don't know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, they also recruited other students to Satanism.
Oh, wow.
And they decidedly committed to sacrificing someone.
Oh, wow. I was just joking when I said it.
No.
They weren't. Okay. All right.
No. And this was probably their second date. No, I'm kidding. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I wonder what the pickup line was. Like, hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Your feet hurt? You've been running from Satan in my dreams all night.
I love that. Well, I don't love
that. Or no, running
that,
to Satan in my dreams.
Oh.
All night. I've been like, okay.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
That's a very good
Thank
one.
You. I tried.
Hey, girl.
Sup?
I like your pitch. Makes me want to fork you.
I'm gonna use that on Chris tonight.
Okay. All right. I don't know why I said that.
That was great.
Well, I was thinking of pitchfork, you know, devil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't think about that. I just thought pitchfork. I was like, oh, pitchfork. Take it out the hay. Stab somebody with it. I don't know.
Taking out the hill. Okay. All right. So Colleen Slimmer was born in Bucks County, Pennsylvania on September the 20th, 1975. She was raised with much love by her mother, Mae Martinez, and her stepfather, who was also a significant parental figure. Colleen grew up with her younger sister in a supportive household. She aspired to attend college, but decided to join the Job Corps in 1994 due to financial constraints. This government-organized vocational training program aligned with Colleen's interest in computers, leading her to enroll in a center in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know they had computers then. I guess they were kind of starting to come.
Yes, they were. That's 1994. I mean, I graduated in 88.
Did y'all have internet?
Yeah, we had computer classes in school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Krista had an argument with Colleen Slimmer. Krista accused her of trying to steal her boyfriend, and Colleen denied the accusations. After this altercation, Krista set her sights in on Colleen and decided that Colleen would be the person they would sacrifice.
Oh, gosh.
Yep.
Like, look, it's not my fault your boyfriend's eyes follow me everywhere I go.
Right? Okay, now you got to die.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Along with a friend, Shadala Peterson, who was 18, Pike planned to lure Slimmer to an isolated, abandoned steam plant near the University of Tennessee campus under the guise of going to the Blockbuster store.
So you think Blockbuster was like right next to this abandoned steam plant? Like, I would start to ask questions as we turned the wrong way and been like, Blockbuster's that way?
Yeah, they were like, oh, well, here we go. Okay. So January the 11th, 1995... A student at, and this is from the court documents.
Okay.
So I'm going to read like what happened, how verbatim. It happened. Verbatim. On January the 11th, 1995, Pike, a student at the Job Corps Center in Knoxville, told her friend Kim Iloilo.
I'd help you, but I have no idea.
Iloilo.
That sounds good.
We'll call her Kim.
Kim. Oh, Kimmy.
Who was also a student at the facility, that she intended to kill another student, Colleen Slimmer, because she had just felt mean that day.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. The next day, January the 12th, 1995, at approximately 8 p.m., Kim observed Pike, along with Slimmer and two other Job Corps students, Shadola Peterson and Tadaryl Shipp, Pike's boyfriend, walking away from the Job Corps Center towards 17th Street. At approximately 10:15 p.m., Kim observed Pike, Peterson, and Shipp return to the center. Slimmer was not with them.
So they walked off. They didn't even drive off.
No, they didn't drive anywhere. This was all like within walking distance. So
how did you talk her into walking with you? I guess Pike probably didn't seem like a psychopath at the time. You never think friend of yours is going to murder you.
They got into this altercation, and she accused her of, you know, having feelings for her boyfriend, and Colleen Slimmer said, no way, not happening. And so maybe she was like, hey, I'm sorry. Let's smash it. Let's squash it. Let's, you want to come out for a walk with us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just hang out, go to Blockbuster.
Correct.
Cool.
Correct.
Better have the movie I want and stop.
Later that night, Pike went to Kim's room and told Kim that she had just killed Slimmer and that she had brought back a piece of the victim's skull as a souvenir.
What?
Pike.
Great.
Then,
I just took a bite of cheese. Now I want to throw up. Thanks, Kelly.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. So Pike showed Kim the piece of skull and told her that she had cut the victim's throat 6 times, beaten her, and thrown asphalt at the victim's head.
Damn.
Pike told Kim that the victim had begged them to stop cutting and beating her, but Pike didn't stop because the victim continued to talk.
She cut her throat 6 times. What the fuck was she using? A dull blade?
Cutter.
A box cutter?
Mm-hmm. So Pike told Kim that she had thrown a large piece of asphalt at the victim's head, and when it broke into smaller pieces, she had thrown those at the victim as well.
Pike's got some anger management issues.
Yeah. Pike told Kim that she had used a meat cleaver to cut the victim's back, and a box cutter had been used to cut her throat.
Finally,
Pike said that a pentagram had been carved onto the victim's forehead and chest.
Oh, my God.
Kim said that Pike was dancing in a circle, smiling and singing, la, 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 when she related these details about the murder.
Like, I wonder if she was on something.
Like she was giddy or excited.
Yeah, man.
When Kim saw Pike at breakfast the next morning, she asked Pike what she had done with the piece of the victim's skull. And she replied that it was in her pocket. And she said, and yes, I'm eating breakfast with it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. During a class later that morning, Pike made a similar statement to Stephanie Wilson, another Job Corps student. Pike pointed to brown spots on her shoes and said, that ain't mud on my shoes, that's blood. Pike then pulled a napkin from her pocket and showed Wilson a piece of bone, which Pike said was a piece of Slimmer's skull. Pike also told Wilson that she had slashed Slimmer's throat 6 times and had beaten Slimmer in the head with a rock. Pike told Wilson that the victim's blood and brains had been pouring out and that she had picked up the piece of skull when she left the scene.
Bitch is crazy.
Mm-hmm. So none of Krista Pike's friends or colleagues reported this crime to the police. But a University of Tennessee grounds department employee nonetheless found Slimmer's body on Friday, January the 13th.
And how long after that? Like, when was she
killed? Well, she killed her on the 12th.
Okay, so like the next
day. The next day.
Oh, okay.
So that employee later testified that the body was so badly beaten that he had mistaken it for the corpse of an animal before realizing it was a human female when he saw the victim's clothes and her exposed breast. The investigating police quickly discovered Pike's connection to the crime and interviewed her on January the 14th. Pike waived her Miranda rights and gave a complete statement to the police about her involvement with the murder, as recounted by the Tennessee Supreme Court. And this is what she said. Pike claimed that she had not planned to kill Slimmer, but she had instead planned only to fight Slimmer and let her know to leave me the hell alone. Really?
Huh.
So you call somebody out because you want them to leave you alone?
Yeah.
No, that makes no sense.
I normally try to avoid people that I want them to leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to ask them to walk with me to Blockbuster.
No. However, Pike admitted that she had taken a box cutter and a miniature meat cleaver with her when she and the victim left the Job Corps Center. Pike said she had borrowed the miniature meat cleaver but refused to identify the person who had loaned it to her.
I hope she didn't give it back.
Who has one of those?
What is a meat cleaver?
It's like a butcher thing. It's like the wooden handle and you've got the blade, but the blade is like 6 or 7 inches wide. It's just a...
I know exactly what you're talking about. Dang.
But it was miniature, so...
Who has that?
I don't know. Maybe it's a cheese cutter?
Oh, man. I found some on Amazon last year. It was the world's smallest knives and swords and stuff, and they were like half an inch.
You saw I've seen so those.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's not a way to describe knives. Yeah. What? She just pulled the meat cleaver out of her pocket?
Mm-hmm.
What if she would have fallen and stabbed herself?
Well...
It's a whole different story.
Whole different story. According to Pike, she asked Slimmer to accompany her to the Blockbuster music store. And as they were walking, Pike told Slimmer that she had a bag of weed hidden in Tyson Park. Though Pike refused to name the other parties involved in the incident, she said the group began walking toward the University of Tennessee campus. Upon arriving at the steam plant on the University of Tennessee's agricultural campus, Pike and Slimmer exchanged words. Pike then began hitting Slimmer and banging Slimmer's head into her knee.
Oh, man.
Pike threw Slimmer to the ground and kicked her repeatedly. According to Pike, as she slammed Slimmer's head against the concrete, Slimmer repeatedly asked, "Why are you doing this to me?" When Slimmer threatened to report Pike so she would be terminated from the Job Corps program, Pike again repeatedly kicked Slimmer in the face and the side.
Yeah, you don't want to piss off the person that's beating you up.
Yeah, you don't want to, yeah, just...
You don't have to tell him you're going to tell on him. Just do it afterwards.
Zip it up.
After you get out alive.
Slimmer laid on the ground and cried for a time and then tried to run away. But another person with Pike caught Slimmer and pushed her to the ground. So you got 3-on-1, basically.
One of them's a guy.
Yeah, if Kim saw Pike and Slimmer and the two other, you know, her boyfriend and the other girl all go together.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got 3 people against 1. So, Pike and the other person, who Pike referred to as he, which was her boyfriend, to Daryl, held Slimmer down until she stopped struggling, then dragged her to another area where Pike cut Slimmer's stomach with a box cutter.
Oh, God.
As Slimmer screamed and screamed, now this is Pike relaying this. You know, she's telling the police. As she screamed and screamed, Pike recounted how she began to hear voices telling her what she had to do. She had to do something to prevent Slimmer from telling on her and sending her to prison for attempted murder.
Pike, was the voice yours? Was it your boyfriend's or your friend's? We don't believe you. You weren't hearing voices. Mm-hmm. You're trying to get out.
At this point, Pike said she was just looking at Slimmer and just watching her bleed. Just watching her bleed.
Like no soul.
No. When Slimmer rolled over, stood up, and tried to run away again, Pike cut Slimmer's back. The big, long cut on her back.
Man.
Pike said Slimmer repeatedly tried to get up and run. She recounted how Slimmer bargained for her life, begging Pike to talk to her and telling Pike that if she would just let her go, she would walk back to her home in Florida without returning to the Job Corps facility for her belongings. Like, I am out of here.
It's a long walk.
Yeah.
You'll never see me again. Never. I'll leave you alone. We don't ever have to talk again.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pike didn't like that, and she told her to shut up because it was harder to hurt someone whenever they're talking to you.
I've kept talking.
I love you. 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 Who can hurt somebody like that?
I don't know. I mean, that would be like hurting an elf. You can't hurt elf.
No. Pike said the more Slimmer talked, the more she kicked her in the face.
Oh, my God. This woman is like...
She's the devil.
Yeah. No remorse.
Mm-hmm. Slimmer asked Pike what she was going to do to her, and at which point Pike thought she heard a noise. So Pike left the scene to check out the surrounding area to make sure that nobody was around, nobody's watching, and then she returned, and she began cutting Slimmer across the throat. When Slimmer continued to talk and beg for her life, Pike cut Slimmer's throat several other times.
So Pike walked away. The other two people there had the ability to let Slimmer go.
Yeah.
And they didn't. That's ridiculous. They better have gotten charged just as much as her.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Yeah. Excellent.
Excellent. Pike said that Slimmer continued to talk and tried to sit up even though her throat had been cut several times.
Mm.
I'm thinking that this box cutter was not on full blade.
Man, it had to be dull.
Either dull or it was like... Maybe
like the little,
one
like,
or two clicks.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, just like torture cuts.
Yeah, because I cut myself all the time with box blades whenever I like just barely, like when I'm trying to open I would think if she was doing it, not right, but like if it wasn't dull or if it, like it would have killed her. Yeah, not tortured her.
Yeah, I think she had it out to torture her.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, because if you cut somebody with a box blade across their throat, they're not going to live through that. Even though her throat had been cut several times, she was still trying to sit up, and they kept the other person that was with Pike would push her back to the ground.
Man, you have to be evil to do this.
Well, they were
They're Satanists.
Satanic, yeah. Slimmer attempted to run away again, and Pike threw a rock, which hit Slimmer in the back of the head. Wish she was a good aim.
Man. Could have been a baseball player.
Pike stated that the other person also hit Slimmer in the head with a rock. When Slimmer fell to the ground, Pike continued to hit her. Eventually, Pike said she could hear Slimmer breathing blood in and out, and she could see Slimmer jerking. But Pike kept hitting her and hitting her and hitting her. And she eventually asked Slimmer, "Colleen, do you know who's doing this to you?" And Slimmer's only response was groaning noises. At this point, Pike said that she and the other person grabbed one of Slimmer's feet and dragged her to an area near some trees, leaving her body on a pile of dirt and debris. They left her clothing in the surrounding bushes. Pike said the episode lasted for about 30 minutes to an hour.
Oh my gosh, that's a really long time.
Yeah. Pike admitted that she and the other person had forced the victim to remove her blouse and bra during the incident to keep her from running away. Pike also admitted that she had removed a rag from her hair and tied it around Slimmer's mouth at one point to prevent Slimmer from talking. Pike denied carving a pentagram in the victim's chest, but said that the other person had cut the victim on her chest, which she had a pentagram on the forehead and a pentagram on her chest. The state of Tennessee prosecuted Pike for Slimmer's murder.
And that's, I've never heard of this before. It's freaking crazy.
So, anyway, Pike was put in jail, and then we go to the trial. And during the trial, the prosecution was aided by evidence, including the piece of skull found in her coat pocket, which fit perfectly into Colleen's skull.
She still had it on her?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And Pike's own confession, which, like I said, she was giddy and excited to offer during her interrogation. Pike was charged with first-degree murder and conspiracy to commit murder. On March 22, 1996, after only a few hours of deliberation, Pike was found guilty on both counts.
Hell yeah. If I was a juror on there, I'd be like, can I have a face mask? I don't want this bitch to know who I am.
I know. On March 30th, Pike was sentenced to death by electrocution for the murder charge and was awarded 25 years in prison for the conspiracy charge.
Oh, what an award.
Yeah, and this is the only time that Krista Pike ever shed a tear.
Yeah, because she only feels sorry for herself. She has no feelings for anyone else.
Yeah. Colleen's mother, May, stated that she wanted to see, this is Colleen Slimmer's mother, stated that she wanted to see Krista Pike killed.
Yep.
And not be given the privilege to go on living in jail on the taxpayers' money, able to live and breathe and get an education. Although it is unknown just how much their participation actually was, Peterson, who had turned informant testifying against Ship and Pike, received probation for pleading guilty to an accessory after the fact.
Nope. That's way too light.
I know, but that's what happened. Ship was convicted of murder and got life in prison with the possibility of parole after 25 years. So they got off pretty lightly.
Yeah.
In my opinion, she should have done some kind of time, not just probation. I mean, she was there.
Yeah, she had the ability to let Slimmer get off and run, and or to try to stop her crazy ass friend.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't. And maybe she was scared for her life. I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't think possibly. I'd be friends with that woman.
Possibly. But if she was truly that scared, she'd have gone to the cops and been like,
yeah,
I'm going to tell you everything.
You better protect me because she's coming for me next.
Mm-hmm. So shortly after her sentence was handed to her, Pike wrote a letter to Ship. This is to Daryl, Ship. Remarkably, she was back to her sociopathic mindset. So she went from, you know, breaking down crying like, oh my God, I just got the death sentence and they're going to fry me. I'm going to get electrocuted. And then she goes to write in this letter and it says, I miss you so much. You see what I get for trying to be nice to the hoe?
Huh?
I went ahead and bashed her brains out so she'd die quickly instead of letting her free bleed to death and suffer more and they fry me. Ain't that some shit? Love you for the rest of my life. And it was signed, Lil Evil.
Okay, she has no imagination because that nickname sucks. Like, yeah. Trying to be nice to a hoe?
Trying to be nice to the hoe that they had tortured for an hour.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve to be fried. Maybe twice.
Right.
Three times.
Right. Absolutely. We're going to
let Colleen's mama pull the candle down.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was in 1996. On August 24th, 2001, Pike, with alleged assistance from an inmate named Natasha Cornett, attacked and attempted to strangle a fellow inmate, Patricia Jones, with a shoelace.
Oh, so I see she's learned her lesson, straightened up. Okay, cool.
So she nearly succeeded in choking her to death.
Oh my gosh.
Jones had been serving a life sentence for the 1994 of 84-year-old Alberta Coker in Knoxville at the time of her attack.
Man, you're a real badass to kill an 84-year-old woman.
Right? Yeah. So, you know. Yeah,
they deserve each other.
Yeah.
You know what? Give them each a box cutter and let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens.
We'll call Colleen's mom. She can come and get some popcorn and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Pike loses.
If you haven't noticed, we are not pro-criminal.
Yeah, yeah. We're very not.
No, we're not. Pike was convicted of attempted first-degree murder on August the 12th, 2004. So that happened on August the 24th, 2001, and she wasn't convicted for that attempted murder until August 12th of 2004.
Damn.
Although it is the position of the Tennessee Department of Corrections that Cornett assisted in this crime, their investigators concluded that there was insufficient evidence to charge her with helping Pike attack Jones. So the Natasha Cornett, we don't know. Nothing happened. And they couldn't, I guess they couldn't prove that she actually helped her.
Pike seems to have a thing for befriending people that are a lot slicker than she is.
Right. I don't think Pike needs any help.
No. Well, she needs some mental help, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, Krista Pike did not appeal her conviction for several years, and an execution date was set for August the 19th of 2002. She finally launched, canceled, and then relaunched an appeal of her conviction in the Tennessee state courts. Pike appealed the verdict in June 2001, and in June 2002, against the advice of her lawyers, she asked the courts to drop her appeal, and she wanted to be executed by electrocution. Like, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for stepping up and taking that.
Yeah. You're going to finally be punished for what you've done.
Mm-hmm. Criminal court judge Mary Beth Leibowitz granted the request.
Oh.
And an execution date of August 19th, 2002 was set. Pike quickly changed her mind, however. And on July 8th, 2002, defense lawyers filed a motion to allow the appeal process to continue. Here we go.
That's too much back and forth.
I know.
Like, you get one try. If you decide not to do it, then all right, that's it. That was your try. Sorry.
Yeah. So this motion was denied.
Oh, good.
Right. However, on August the 2nd, 2002, a 3-judge state appeals court panel ruled that the proceedings should be continued and the execution was not carried out. Give me a break.
Those 3 judges should have had to give one of their relatives to Pike for the day.
For the day.
And let's just see what happens. What is your decision after she's hung out with Pike and a knife cutter or blade cutter, whatever?
Box cutter.
Box cutter. That's it. Yeah. Like, do you think that doesn't affect you at all? Mm-mm. Do you think that she should just be able to sit in prison for the rest of her life and strangle people with shoestrings?
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah.
She's obviously not learning any lessons.
Mm-mm. In December 2008, Pike's latest request for a new trial was turned down and she was returned to death row. With this denial, Pike's allowed appeals under the rules and procedures of the state of Tennessee's criminal justice system were exhausted. Hallelujah! What? Yeah. Because she had already filed like three appeals, and I don't know. I think you just get three. Maximum, yeah. So you're going to use those wisely.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm going to do 10 years, and I'm going to really work on myself.
I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to help people in prison. I'm going to show them that I can be a productive member of society.
Yes, and then you appeal it.
Yep. You don't go strangle somebody with a shoestring.
No.
I'm sure there's cameras all over that prison.
Right.
There was probably a guard within a very close vicinity that I witnessed you doing this. Mm-hmm. Not the best thing to do to get an appeal of your death penalty.
That's just not smart. So in March 2012, it was revealed that Pike had made escape plans involving corrections officer Dustin Heflin and a New Jersey man named Donald Coet.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Though it has never been determined how it exactly began, Coet, who worked as a personal trainer and was then in his early 30s, entered into a letter-writing correspondence with Pike around the beginning of 2011. By July of that year, Coet was making the nearly 1,700-mile by-car round trip from Flemington, New Jersey to Nashville, Tennessee to visit Pike in person on visiting days once or twice a month.
Oh my gosh, you spend your month driving.
Eventually, Coet communicated a plan for her to escape and enlisted the help of corrections officer Heflin, who agreed to participate in return for cash and gifts.
I bet his personal training people dropped him real quick after this. Like, I'd love for you to train me with a serial killer for a wife.
Why?
Or an attempted serial killer.
Because of security concerns, the Tennessee Department of Corrections has not provided many details about the plan. However, the eventually unsealed indictment laid out a scenario where a prison key would be traced and then a duplicate created.
Hmm.
Yeah. So she had the help of a prison guard in there. You know?
That's scary.
Early in 2012, prison personnel received information about the escape plot. This led to the attempted prison break being thwarted by a joint investigation involving the Tennessee Department of Corrections, the Tennessee Bureau of Investigations, and the New Jersey State Police. According to the TBI, the plan was not very far along when they uncovered it, and the jailbreak was not imminent. Imminent.
Thank you. That makes me feel better.
Yes. In March 2012, Coet was arrested and charged with bribery and conspiracy to commit escape. While Heflin was arrested and charged with bribery, official misconduct, and conspiracy to commit escape, Pike was not charged.
What?
And it was unclear to the investigators if she was a participant in the conspiracy other than being aware of it. On May 31st, 2012, Coet was sentenced to 7 years in prison to be served at the Tennessee State Northeast Correctional Complex. Heflin, who cooperated with the authorities after his arrest, of course, served no prison time, but was terminated from his job within the Tennessee Department of Corrections, and I am sure that he is employed in some other state
or Louisiana Department of Corrections.
County, right? With another Department of Corrections. You gotta know he is. Okay. In May 2014, Pike's lawyers entered an appeal. Now, she was out of appeals, right?
Yeah.
But they entered an appeal in the federal court system seeking a
commutation
of the sentence from death to prison on the following grounds: ineffective assistance of counsel.
Gosh, I hope it was the same attorneys that represented her the first time.
It was us. We did it.
We did it, and we was dumb at the time.
We were dumb. We didn't get the right stuff.
We read the books now. We know what's up.
Yeah, we flipped the page.
I didn't realize there was a front and a back. Or 7,500 other pages.
We didn't know.
I thought the cover page was it. It wasn't.
Pike suffered from mental illness, and capital punishment as administered in Tennessee is unconstitutional. In a 61-page ruling by U.S. District Judge Harry Sandlin Matisse Jr., issued on March 11, 2016, all grounds were rejected.
Yes.
And the requested commutation was denied.
Take that.
On August 22nd, 2019, having heard the same appeal by Pike's lawyers in October 1st, 2018, the three-judge panel...
Oh, no.
Here we go back. On the United States Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit panel unanimously upheld the lower court ruling and denied relief. Hallelujah for doing
it
right.
Thank you.
Okay. So on August the 27th, 2020, these are a lot of dates, y'all.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's hard to
keep
track.
This goes on for like ever.
It does. This was in 1996, and here we are in 2020. Tennessee Attorney General Herbert Slattery's office requested the Tennessee Supreme Court to set an execution date for Pike. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic in Tennessee and various other factors, Pike's attorneys were granted extensions by the court, allowing them more time to argue as to why Pike should not be executed.
So 24 years was not enough.
Not enough time.
You know what is 100% sure way to get you not executed?
Don't do the crime.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to not cut somebody's throat with a box cutter six times and beat their head in with a rock?
And cut them on the stomach.
And cut them on the stomach. And
the forehead.
Back.
Like, and yeah, beat the hell out of them and kick them.
How many times did you have the chance to walk away, to be the bigger person? But you didn't. Mm-mm. And then you tried to kill somebody in prison. Then you tried to escape. You have not learned your lesson.
No, not hardly. So, June 7th, 2021, Pike's attorneys filed a motion to oppose the execution date and request a certificate of commutation, and the motion again was denied. Who in the hell is trying, you know, like, I wish I had an attorney ever in my life that was proactive.
Over and over. Don't worry, I'm not going to give up. I'm like the little engine that could. I just keep going and going. Like,
I mean, we got to call them and say, hello, are you there? Do you respond?
Hey, you sent me a bill, but I don't remember talking to you for the last 6 months.
Yeah. Now we're talking corporate attorneys, so.
Yeah.
Not personal.
Not personal. We haven't needed a personal one.
Not yet. Prior to November 2022, Pike had completely exhausted all appeals and processes. However, in November 2022, the state Supreme Court found that the state's law for juveniles automatically sentenced to life in prison without a chance at parole was unconstitutional.
But she wasn't a minor.
That's right. So on August 30th, 2023, her lawyers used the 2022 Supreme Court ruling in an attempt to reopen her bid to have her 1996 conviction and sentence thrown out. Her lawyers argued her young age and damaged mental health at the time of killing should spare her from facing that execution. Yet, what, four years later, she tried to kill her cellmate?
Yeah.
Yeah. In October 2023, Knox County Criminal Court Judge Scott Green denied Pike's request, saying that in November 2022, Supreme Court ruling did not apply to her. The Booker case, which was the reason for the ruling, addressed only juvenile offenders in Tennessee. The High Court, in the opinion written by now retired Justice Sharon Lee, specifically addressed the question of juveniles, not adults. Mm-hmm. This ruling applies to only juvenile homicide offenders and not to adult offenders. So,
boom.
Boom. She was legally an adult at that time. As of March the 10th, 2024, the state had not yet set an execution date for Pike. Krista Pike is now 48 years old and is held at the Deborah K. Johnson Rehabilitation Center under maximum security. And if she is executed, if ever she is executed, she would be the first woman in Tennessee to face execution in over 200 years.
I have a feeling that we're going to have a few more appeals come through.
I mean, if they're all exhausted, you think, how is this happening? Yeah. How is she allowed an appeal? But anyway, so yeah, we'll keep you posted and updated if we ever get an appeal date.
Yeah, I hope they never release her and she doesn't escape. She's going to come after us.
In fact, we are going to do an episode on updating on all the podcasts that we've done so far.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Alexi Treviso has some updates.
Oh, I bet. I'm pretty sure Mary Bella's dead. But we don't know. We'll never know about her.
Never know.
Mm-mm. She's changed her name. Okay. So, this bitch was unwell.
Oh, man.
For
yes.
For sure.
Still is.
Yeah. And to see her, like, she was, like this, she had auburn hair. It was curly. She had a very sweet, innocent look to her. She was very nice. She was, like, easy to communicate with. And
looks can be deceiving.
Yada, yada. There you go. Yeah. Sadistic.
Yes.
Sadistic. Little evil. Well, damn. This concludes our story of Krista Pike. And we hope to see you next time on another crazy bitch who is
unwell. Bye.
Bye-bye.
We appreciate you listening to our podcast. If you liked it, please give us a good rating. You can listen on your favorite podcast platform with new releases every Friday. Just search for Bitch, I'm Not Well. Send us suggestions for an episode at b.tchimnotwell@gmail.com because Gmail won't let us use bitch. Or visit our website at www.bitchimnotwell.com for more podcasts and our fabulous merchandise.
We'll see you next week on another podcast about another crazy bitch who is truly unwell.